from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Mina Kim. Casual carpool, a cross between hitchhiking and carpooling, has been moving Bay Area commuters since the 1970s. The phenomenon, which is particularly popular in the East Bay, has no official rules or guidebook, so passengers and drivers negotiate things like etiquette and donations among themselves. So what questions do you have about casual carpool? Your expectations for drivers and passengers who use it? What is that only in the casual carpool experience that you've had? You can share those with us at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. Post your comments on our website, kqed.org/forum. On Facebook, tweet us at KQED Forum or email us at forum@kqed.org. And we're joined by Dan Brecke, editor and reporter for transportation and other things at KQED News. Good morning, Dan Brecke.
Good morning, Mina Kim.
And also a user of the casual carpool before, or not every
Even
day.
Even today.
You used it today?
I did.
Just so that you could give us another.
I had my all-time longest wait at North Berkeley BART for in the Civic Center line. North Berkeley BART is unique in that there are two lines. One line goes to downtown San Francisco, Fremont Street. Fremont and Howard. And then the other one goes to the 9th Street ramp and puts you off at 8th and Harrison. And it took 33 minutes, which is, I was at the point where I was going, oh, I got to get in there and maybe I'm going to take BART today. But I waited it out. And anyway.
Well, I think that's a good backdrop to your explanation for our listeners of what casual carpool is, how it actually works.
Well, you sort of laid it out there. I mean, there are a bunch of places. I only know about the East Bay, and I'm very parochial. I've only traveled from this one stop, which is at the North Berkeley BART station on Sacramento Street. And essentially, all that happens is there's a zone where cars can just pull over there on Sacramento, and people line up, and they wait their turn for a ride. And you can get there on, I've counted as many as 50 or 60 people. In line waiting. And, you know, sometimes it'll go very fast. And sometimes this morning, like this morning, it'll just sort of crawl along. There are no official rules, although somebody has come along very thoughtfully, probably, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, and stenciled on the curb financial district and civic center so people could distinguish between the two lines. But it's all pretty homemade. And I think that's what makes it wonderful and unique, is that it's a system that works very well for people. It probably contributes markedly to reducing congestion, and it's all sort of made up as you go.
Yes, because you typically have people, I guess, lining up in the morning hours,
right?
From 5:30 to 9:30. Is that sort of the informal time frame?
Well, it's all keyed to the carpool lanes, and so the carpool lanes are open on I-80 and through the Bay Bridge Toll Plaza, around the Bay Bridge Toll Plaza, between 5 a.m. and 10 a.m. Practically speaking, before 7, you don't see much traffic there for casual carpoolers at North Berkeley BART. Other places, I'm hoping people will come in or call in and talk to us about that. But so say between 6:45, and you'll see people, the real diehards, will wait in line until 9:50. And if there is a car might pull up at 9:45 and 9:50. Is there a rider here? We can still make it, you know, around the toll plaza. And I don't think it's an official policy, but on those late ones, especially, I've been in cars that sort of go past the toll plaza at like 10:05. And I think the CHP is cool with it. As long as you've got the people in the car, they're not going to stop you then.
And you need 3 to be able to qualify for the carpool. But do people take more typically?
Well, most vehicles will have 3 empty spaces. So most of the cars are
4 total. So I mean, 3 passengers, essentially.
Exactly. So it's a driver and 3 passengers. I mean, and that's changed. I mean, it used to be that it would be, you know, people would take off when they had 3 passengers, even if there was a line. I mean, 2 passengers, even if there was a line. Now people will wait and take 3.
And you were saying that you were waiting 33 minutes. What happens if no one comes?
Well, you know, there's never been a day where no one comes. And I have to say that the financial district line was moving. It was moving slowly. And this sort of gets to another aspect of it. It's a bit unpredictable. It changes from day to day. So sometimes you think, well, if there is a terrible traffic jam getting through the toll plaza, there will be more people stopping because, you know, it saves them so much time to be able to take the carpool lane. On the other hand, sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. So today, I think what happened was traffic was great. We just sailed right in once I got in a car. But I think that meant that many fewer drivers were thinking, well, I need this extra advantage today.
Well, we've got some calls coming in about casual carpool. Let's start with Michael in Oakland. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hi, what's your experience?
This is actually not strictly on casual carpool. This is actually about the Waze carpool app, where inside Waze, you now have a system whereby if you want to carpool all across the bay, not just San Francisco to East Bay, you set yourself up as a rider or as a driver, where you're going to, where you're going from, what time range is acceptable, how far you're willing to walk, blah, blah, blah. And it just matches people up fairly nicely. And for a not crazy fee, it's quite inefficient. Quite efficient and makes much better use of the roads.
Well, wow. Could that be the demise of casual carpool?
No, I don't think so. And I have used Waze, the Waze carpool. And it is a cool thing. And I'll confess, I only used it once. The fee is more. So right now, the way carpools work is to go around the Bay Bridge Toll Plaza, for instance, carpools have to pay $3. And so that's raised, and that's a relatively new thing. It just went up from $2.50 because of the toll increases. But before, I think it was 2012, there were no tolls for carpools. Now there are tolls, and whether riders are going to chip in or not is sort of this ongoing conversation in each carload of people. But the Waze fee, as I recall it, the one time I took it, was in the range of $4.50 to $6 or something like that. Well, that's competing with my dollar. If, you know, I'll chip in a dollar in the ride. And so to me, it's a dollars and cents thing. But for people who aren't close to these casual carpool nodes, Waze and other apps, Google has one, they're working. I mean, they're trying to do something that's really inventive and could make a big difference.
We're talking casual carpool today as well as other options now. But it's that informal hitchhiking system that's the preferred method for so many Bay Area commuters to get across the East Bay, across the Bay, especially if you live in the East Bay. And it's pretty remarkable when you step back and think about it, with a different driver, a different rider, a different car every day. No two trips are really ever the same. So what has been your experience with casual carpool? What questions do you have about it? What are your expectations for drivers and passengers who use it? Give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. Email us, forum at kqed.org. Post your comments on our website, on Facebook, or on Twitter. We're at KQED Forum. Bianca says, when I casual carpooled from Lafayette, I got to ride in some sick luxury cars. Definitely not a standard way to get to work. I was a silent passenger, always had a book and headphones to avoid conversation. I needed a ride to work, not friends.
Well, that's an interesting cultural aspect of this. I mean, all the different choices that riders and drivers make. I mean, as we've been saying, there are no real rules.
But there are established etiquettes, I feel.
Well,
like.
There kind of are. You know, if the driver has the radio on, and often it's KQED, like it was this morning when I was riding in, you know, people just kind of, they're okay with it. Or if it's sports talk, or even if it's, you know, the morning drive with one of the rock and roll stations, if it's still called rock and roll. And, you know, you just kind of go with what everybody's doing, has been my experience.
What about paying the driver? I've seen a lot of talk about offering the driver a dollar or something like that.
Well, there's another conversation about that. I do it just because I think it's costing them something, at least in a superficial, you know, toll, being charged for the toll sense. A lot of people argue, and I've seen serious arguments about this online, that the driver is benefiting in so many ways, especially if it's saving them 15 or 20 minutes or more getting around the toll plaza. So why should I give them anything? And I just think that that argument, while it may make some basic economic sense, is kind of missing out on the grace part of this whole exchange. I mean, you want to be part of a community. And if this little, I mean, a dollar is not much, if that little contribution is too much, I mean, maybe you ought to think about what your participation in the community really means.
Well, let's see if our listeners agree with you. What do you think? Do you offer your driver a dollar? Give us a call at 866-733-6786. A listener writes, is there generally a good match between the number of drivers and riders, or is there typically a shortage on one side?
You know, you don't know from day to day. And I've always thought that I would love to see sort of an economics study of the ebb and flow of the supply and demand that happens, because it never seems to be perfectly evenly matched. And it will change throughout the morning. I mean, you'll have it'll look one way at 7 o'clock and change by 8 and 9. Depending on, you know, because more people are actually commuting between 8 and 9 and even 9:30. So you'll see more people show up for rides. The real variable there is how many cars are stopping. That really controls the number of riders who are there.
Well, Stephen says, it's been more than 15 years, but I still remember my worst experience. Tan Infinity, guy took us in, then went to fill up with gas. Who cares if we had a meeting to make? Instead of stopping at Fremont and Howard, he pulled over randomly and said, you'll get out here.
Yeah, there. That's part of the experience, too. I mean, I one time was in a car where the other passenger discovered that the driver was a doctor, and he went into a detailed description of a medical condition he had that he was on the way to the hospital to have checked out. And the guy got out of the car, and the doctor looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, well, that's a classic. And I still see this guy in the neighborhood, the writer with the medical condition.
Is it true that generally you don't start the strike up conversations if you're not the driver? You allow the driver to initiate conversation?
You know, it depends if something provokes you. I mean, you know, if there's an incident, for instance, if you get cut off by another driver, or there's something unusual, or you hear something unusual on the radio, and, you know, you may sigh or something like that, and then they'll sound off. I don't really get in the car with any kind of sense of, like, this is the way it's going to be. And that's actually one of the things that's kind of fun about it. Sometimes you get into really interesting conversations.
But there aren't regulars. So, for example, the previous online commenters remembered Tan Infinity. I mean, are there some cars or drivers that get reputations?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been in line with people who will refuse to ride with certain drivers because they feel that they're bad drivers or that their cars are dirty, or something like that. And those are real things.
There's nothing personal? I mean, people are like, okay, fine, no worries if you don't want to get in my car, or no worries if you don't want me to get in
yours. Well, sometimes there are hard feelings. Mm-hmm. I mean, one time, late in the morning, we had a woman drive over, and she parked at a 45-degree angle to the curb and said, get in. And this other guy and I were looking at her, and her car was full of books and newspapers and other debris that she was desperately shoveling out of the way. She said, get in, I'm your last chance. And we both said, we don't think so. And she was mad at us, but she drove away.
Well, let's hear from Douglas in Oakland. Hi, Douglas.
Hi, I'm from Redwood Heights in Oakland. I moved here from San Francisco in 1998 and shortened my commute from Upper Market 45 minutes to about 30 minutes from High and MacArthur. And I'm retired now, but we always called carpool our most civilized part of the day, working in the financial district. And I still have friends who have since retired and moved away from the Bay Area. I met them in the carpool. They drove me, or I drove them, and we've been friends ever since. And also, one shout-out to one carpool lady, Fran, whose license plate, You Be Late Too, was always the first car I went to.
Oh, so you've definitely formed connections and remember people. Do you think there's something about the Bay Area that makes a system like this work here? Do you think there's something special, Dan?
People have asked about that. I don't know. this does happen in other parts of the country, at least by reputation. I've read about it happening in Houston, and I've heard about it happening in the Washington, D.C. area. Houston seems like that's not the first place I would guess. But and there it's called slugging, I understand. No, I don't, you know, it's a good question. I mean, listen, we're the best at everything, so why not this too?
We're talking about casual carpool today, about your stories, those only in the casual carpool experiences that you've had that you'd like to share with us. Or if you have any questions about how this informal mass hitchhiking slash carpooling system works that so many people in the Bay Area use to get across the bay, the number 866-733-6786, the email address forum at kqed.org. We're on Twitter at KQED Forum and on Facebook. This listener writes, in September of 1979, I had to drive to work in San Francisco instead of my usual ride from on the F bus. I decided to stop in front of McDonald's at Shattuck University and ask the people lined up for the bus if anyone wanted a ride to the city. A man and a woman got in. After seeing that woman again a few times on the F bus, I got up the courage to ask her out. Susan and I will celebrate our 38th wedding anniversary this May 9th. Oh, well, congratulations,
awesome.
Listener. Susan writes, I was waiting in a particularly long line one morning, and although motorcycles don't normally line up in the queue, one did that morning. There were no other takers in front of me, so I went for it. The driver had an extra helmet. I'm in my 50s. What a fun way it was for me to get to school that morning.
I have never heard a story like that. Motorcycles don't need any extra riders to go around the toll plaza, but I think that's awesome again.
Well, again, we're talking with Dan Brecke, editor and reporter for KQED News. He reports on transportation a lot for us, as well as so many other things. And we are hearing from you as well, our listeners, about your experiences and questions related to casual carpool. Let's go next to Amy in San Francisco. Hi, Amy.
Hi there. So I just wanted to comment on the contributing of a dollar or, you know, whatever people can contribute.
Go for it.
So I'm so glad that you brought up the idea of grace and community, because I was a driver for years and in Rockridge, out of Rockridge, and I truly could count on one hand how many people even offered a dollar. And it was so odd to me, because I went out of my way to make sure my car was clean and comfortable and to take the best route and to make sure everybody got there on time. And I think, why wouldn't you want to make more, why wouldn't you want to contribute that? So like the way that you put it about grace, and just, it's not even about the money. If you truly can't afford it, great. But so that was something that just stuck with me. And then one other thing is, I was a rider once where the driver took a conference call from work, and it was bizarro because they were talking about like super sensitive stuff, and I just had to laugh.
Well, Amy, thanks for sharing that and your perspective. Thomas writes, how do people get home in the evening? Thank you, Thomas.
Well, a lot of them just get on BART and ride BART home or the bus. There is a limited there's a limited eastbound homebound commute from downtown San Francisco. I'm not sure how active it is, but there used to be a lineup on Beale Street, because Beale Street does lead to an access onto the eastbound Bay Bridge off of Bryant. It's a carpool lane, and I haven't tried that in a long time, so I don't even know if it's working anymore. But that's the only. You could have a carpool that you arrange someplace else. The big problem is getting to the bridge, of course, and the carpool lane doesn't start until the other side of the bridge.
Well, let's hear next from Dana in Richmond. Hi, Dana.
Hi. The good news about casual carpool is that more people don't do it, and the bad news is that more people don't do it. I'm always shocked, as you fly by all those cars, that there aren't more people either doing this or something else. I wanted to mention that going from Emeryville, I very rarely have anybody who doesn't offer me a dollar, which is always appreciated, but I understand if other people don't. And I've casual carpooled for years with my dog in the car, and very seldom does anybody, not get in, and many times people end up taking pictures, and even if they aren't fond of dogs, they're thrilled at the end of the ride to have had that experience. So overall, I love Casual Carpool.
Oh, that's great. Well, thanks for sharing that.
I think Amanda, our social media person, was going to tweet out a picture I have of a selfie of me and a dog in one of the carpools. I'm not sure. It wasn't from Emeryville, so maybe it wasn't with that driver. But, you know, a lot of the experiences you have are memorable. I talked to a driver one day who was very inquisitive about what everybody did. And I said, "What do you do?" And he said, "I'm a federal judge." And I said, "Oh, really?" And he told me his name. And he was actually involved in a very high profile case right then.
Ah.
And he turned out to be sort of this amazing monumental figure in the local judiciary. And so you never know who you're going to run into.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever, since KQED is frequently the preferred radio station, have you ever heard yourself aired back while you're in the car? You've heard your own stories. I know this has happened to our colleague Tara Seiler.
Yeah, it has happened. And I don't point out who it is.
You don't say, "That's me" on the radio. Well, Dan Brecke, he is the editor and reporter for KQED News, and we are talking about Casual Carpool and hearing your Casual Carpool stories, and there are many. This is actually a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information about how to support KQED, you can go to kqed.org. I'm Mina Kim. And let's go next to Mike in Hayward. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yep. Go ahead.
Okay. So, well, you know, I took Casual Carpool for 20 years, and I had a lot of these experiences, one of which was to get out of cars with dog hair all over my suit when I was going to work. And there were times when we would let a driver, you know, there were two or three of us in line, would say, "No, I'm not going to go with that fellow. He's crazy." That definitely. But, you know, one thing, you know, it bothers me that, you know, publicizing the Casual Carpool in this way. I remember when the Oakland First Friday things was happening, and I remember going down that street with my son saying, you know, this isn't going to last where it's going to be for like 12, 15 blocks and just, you know, chaos. And, you know, because there'll be like the people, human nature will raise its head, and there will be people who come who find out that this is happening, who are violent or have issues. And, you know, when you publicize the Casual Carpool like this, you know, you're going to get people who come driving in from Stockton or Tracy to take advantage of the vulnerable people. And, you know, I don't think it's such a great idea.
So you think that it's not that well known right now, and also that this could be too many people knowing about it, or the fact that few people know about it is what keeps it kind of as safe and effective as it is? What do you think, Dan Brecke?
Right. Yeah. Shootings started happening at at the First Fridays in Oakland, and then it became a much different event that was like two blocks long and very regimented, and people being frisked and all that.
Well, Dan, do you think there's a parallel here?
You know, I really doubt that there is. And for one thing, this has been going on for decades, the Casual
Since
Carpool.
Since the 70s.
Yeah. And what's remarkable about it is, I mean, it has gotten written up and it has been covered, and it has been remarkably free of that kind of,
attacks, assaults,
criminal violence. Behavior. And some people are pretty amazed about that. I mean, you know, you use the parallel of hitchhiking. This is very different from hitchhiking. I mean, it's a much more controlled environment. There's an understanding about where people are going. You know, there are some scenarios that you could imagine where bad things could happen. I mean, one person getting in a car maybe with three other people or something like that. That rarely happens. And, listen, we're in a society where we're sort of taught to fear whatever is around the next corner, whatever it is. And I have to say that this is one place where, yes, I'm a big white male who looks like maybe I can take care of myself. I can't really, but what the heck. And so I don't experience fear that way, and especially in this environment.
Well, Gina writes, every weekday there's a long line waiting to get picked up, and every day there is a large male turkey that waits in line with everyone. He has a family who occasionally meanders up the hill to see him off. I feel sad on the weekends as he makes the trek from the Rose Garden only to find no one to wait with. No one has told him it's weekdays only. Is she talking about a literal turkey? Wow. That's his daily adventure.
That is definitely only in the casual carpool. Yes, exactly.
Only in the casual carpool
story. Any story I have.
Well, Duff writes, I've never been much of a commuter, but my ex's water broke while she was waiting in line. I raced out of the house and picked her up. Our kid is 9 now. Well, that would be quite the story if she had gotten in a vehicle. Vincent in Larkspur, you're on.
Good morning. I have a story about Washington, D.C., and a friend who's a 3-star general. He would regularly take what's called the slug line, where he'd drive his minivan, pull over about 5 miles from the Pentagon, and people just get in. They don't talk. Sometimes they do. They put on their headphones. They read the Wall Street Journal on the way in to the Pentagon. And every day he would either drive or he would just park and go in. And on his way in one day, he was in full military dress with the full breast of colors. And he was standing on the corner, and one regular driver that he would every single day for years pull over, and he got in his full military 3-star general outfit. And the reaction was incredible. And the stories that continued were just bug-eyed and wide-eyed. So I thought I would make that a contribution to the playful fun of carpool stories.
Well, Vincent, thanks for sharing that. So Terry writes, about the carpooling, why don't you simply take BART?
Well, it depends on the time of day. If the carpool is available, I'm not in a hurry. You know, the unpredictability of it doesn't affect me so much. Well, then I'll just wait. And I'll tell you what, it's nice to change up your commute experience. One thing you get to do in the casual carpool, and I was just thinking about this morning, you're not driving. You can put 100% of your attention out the window at the beautiful traffic that you're passing on Interstate 80. But also, when you get up on the flyovers there, I mean, the Bayscape is amazing. It's different every day. So, yeah, I mean, that's one reason. But BART, you know, is the utilitarian route for sure, especially when I'm in a rush.
And we're hoping that this music helps you envision that beautiful Bayscape that Dan is talking about. Dan Brecke, editor and reporter for KQED News. Thanks for joining us to talk about this morning.
You're welcome.
And I'm Mina Kim. This is Forum. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.